What is up, Daniel?
What's up, man?
What's up, brother? All right, man. So we're going to start right here. This is episode 9 of Grunt Talk. And for everybody listening for a couple first times, Grunt Talk is pretty much a platform for all active duty veterans who have served whatever branch it is and being able to tell kind of their stories, whether it be just from their basic story of basic training to just a wacky event that happened. We all have our different stories. And one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to interview both active and veterans, because we all have amazing stories. And I think it just speaks to the normal masses. So right off, Daniel, just want to go off again. Let's start from the beginning, pretty much. What were you kind of born and raised?
I was born in Fort Riley, Kansas. My dad was Army. So he was bouncing around from place to place also. So I was born in Fort Riley, Kansas, but I moved out of there when I was still a baby to Germany. And then but pretty much I was raised in Missouri. Waynesville, Missouri is where my dad retired at. So I pretty much settled roots. And I think I lived there roughly around 16 years or something like that. So pretty much raised in a small town called St. Robert, Waynesville, Missouri.
That's cool. What kind of influenced you? I know everybody has their kind of differences of what influenced them to go into the military. I know for me, it was pretty much just having family just in the military kind of influenced me to go in. Was that kind of like the thing for you, for your dad? Because I know sometimes being in, like, whether it be an Army brat or any type of military child, sometimes it's the opposite effect. They don't want that.
Well, to be honest, That's what made me know not to go into the Army. So my dad did, I believe, like 22 years or something like that in the Army. But I actually was going to school. I had a full ride scholarship to play basketball. So I was actually in college playing basketball. And then, unfortunately, I had to maintain a certain GPA. I was being young and dumb and, you know, and I didn't handle business and do what I was supposed to do. So they ended up dropping my scholarship and I didn't want to afford it. So I ended up living back with my parents after that. And then one day I was just, you know, playing some video games, and I look around at my room and there's some empty Hot Cheeto bags and empty beer cans and, you know, stuff like that. And I'm like, man, I was like, I'm too grown to be living in my parents' basement, you know? So eventually I was like, I need to do something. I was making good money working two jobs and stuff like that, but still, like, I wanted a place of my own and stuff like that. And I needed stabilization and something to achieve. Because I knew there was something better within me. So I was like, let me go ahead and look up the military. So when I looked up the military, that's why I said I knew not to go into the Army, because all the stuff that my dad went through and stuff, he was like, boy, you better not go into the Army. He's like, go somewhere else. And I was like, all right. So he's like, you need to go into the Air Force where they treat you good. And I was like, oh, okay. Or the Chair Force, as they call it. So, yeah. So I
hurting me a little bit, Daniel, with all these Army things, but it's all good. It's all good.
No, I love the Army, actually. I always tell people all the time, I love the Army, but especially like the PT protocols and stuff like that. I'm like, the Air Force PT protocols, like a joke, you know? And I was like, you guys need to hop on this Army and Marine PT protocol. So, so I ended up joining the Air Force, went ahead and signing it for the Air Force. I took my ASVAB. And unfortunately, I'm not the brightest student, so I only had like 4 or 5 jobs apply, you know, required for me to pick from. So I was like, pretty funny story is the recruiter, he was like, hey, man, you want to be an aerial gunner? And then I was like, what's that? He's like, it's those guys that shoot at the, you know, is outside and they shoot at the, you know, the gunner at the out of the airplane. And I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. And then he was like, yeah, it's kind of like a video game, like Call of Duty. I was like, yeah, except for one problem. I was like, you don't have like a reset button or nine lives, you know? I was like, once you're gone, you're gone, bro. That's it. I was like, nah. I was like, I'll stick to something a little safe on the safer side. But I still want to do something adventurous and stuff like that. So I ended up joining, doing the aircraft armament systems. I was a weapons loader. So I ended up loading the F-15 for 8 years, weapons maintainer and stuff. So it was fun.
Where did you send you to basic? Where was your basic training at?
San Antonio, Texas.
I know every branch is a little bit different. I've talked to a couple of people. At least for me, it was for being a grunt. It was everything was at one location. Did you have, I don't know if like the Air Force is different where it's like basic trainings, let's say 9 weeks or so, and then your actual training for your job is like another 2 months.
Exactly. That's what it is. It's so San Antonio was my basic training, and then my tech school technical training was man, where was my technical training? It's been a while, man.
I know.
I think it's actually the same city but a different location. I think it was San Antonio, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so I believe it was also San Antonio, and but like I said, it was a different location. So
What was when you first got into, I know everybody's basics is so different compared to what they do. I know when I went into basic, like first day reception, I thought that was like, oh, this is basic training. And as I got there, I'm like, well, this is kind of really easy. Maybe I overprepared. Little did I know the actual basic training part of it was like, no, we're gonna pick you up. Like,
yeah,
this ain't shit
didn't
right
even start yet. Yeah, it
now.
didn't even start yet. You were still in the MEPS protocol. it was I was kind of used to it because, like I said, my dad did Army 22, and so he was pretty hardcore already. So he already kind of instilled the foundation of that in your face, like do everything by the book, kind of like, up early, 15 minutes early, everything, respect, all that stuff, and so I was actually kind of used to it. So it didn't the basic training part didn't really bother me, but the physical aspect was a little harder than expected. There was some times where it was, waking up at 4 o'clock, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning to, go do, 4 mile runs or whatever the case, 5 mile runs or whatever the case is. Like, all right, like not at least let me get some sleep. So, but the physical aspect was a little on the tougher side, especially since I was a little pipsqueak. I was like 100, I think like 120 pounds, skin and bones, man. So,
How tall are you? Were you already like at your height,
five,
like your max
five,
height and everything?
six. Yeah, 5'6".
5'6". Okay.
So I still met the protocol for MEPS to get into the military, but I was still considered skin and bones. So,
That's so crazy, man.
yeah.
I know it's always different for that situation for everybody, but I think I get that question all the time, whether it be relatives or people I just meet. Since I work at 24, 24 Hour Fitness, I always get people like, "Hey, I'm thinking about the military." They find out I'm a veteran, and like, man, as long you pretty much just prepare yourself and you'll be fine. The hardest thing is going to be is when people around you fuck up. Then you're gonna hate
Of
it
course.
because everybody gets fucked up. That's it.
Exactly. And then you yell at that person. It's like, really, man? Like, come on. So.
Okay, so basic training is done. You do your schooling. From there, where do you get, where's your first actual duty station?
First duty station was Langley, Virginia.
Okay, Lane, Virginia.
Yeah, so I was stationed in Virginia for a little bit, and then I moved over to Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas, which that's where I pretty much consider, even though I was raised in Missouri, I consider Nellis home because that's where I met my wife, that's where I had my kids, that's where we pretty much planted roots. So Las Vegas is, and I love the city. The outskirts. I'm not like the downtown Vegas kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not
A
that kind of guy.
lot of people don't realize
Yeah. If you talk to anybody that's from Vegas, they'll tell you. It's like, oh, so have you gone to the Strip? They're like, no. I'm like, I avoid the strip. Like, I don't go through the strip. There's so much better things that are outside of the strip in that city. So, but yeah, I consider that home. So I was stationed there, and then that's where I ended up retiring at, medically retiring, is right there out of Nellis. But my wife is still active duty, so we're,
Oh, wow, what did you?
she's Air Force as well.
Is she trying to do a full 20 years?
Yeah, that's the plan. Well, I told her she had no choice. She already got 12, 13 years. She on the
There
down.
you go, right?
I was like,
Halfway there.
yeah, I was like, you're on the down end already. I was like, if you would have chose to get out earlier, then cool, but you got no choice now. No, but
Awesome,
yeah, I
brother.
think she wants to anyway, so it's a good thing.
And medically retired, what'd you get medically retired for?
Anxiety, PTSD, mental stuff, and then obviously a lot of injuries and stuff like that from being a weapons loader, slaving outside on the flight line in 120 degree weather, loading 100-pound bombs and stuff, and being around hazardous chemicals.
A lot of people, man, I think my first sergeant, and I think your guys' rank is a little bit different. I don't know if you guys have first sergeants, but my first sergeant kind of said it the best way. He's like, man, we're always going to have the coolest stories, the funniest stories, but sometimes this career ain't always for the full 20 years because your body starts breaking down.
Oh yeah.
And sure enough, man, I started feeling that a while ago, man. I'm still young myself, but certain things I felt like, woo, man.
Yep.
I can't feel that.
Yeah, that's what I told my wife. As soon as I hit 30, I was like, instantly, I just woke up to arthritis. I was like, what the? I was like, golly, like, so, I mean, yeah, it definitely takes a toll on your body, especially since you work in longer hours and the labor jobs. And even for the person, people don't even understand, because my wife is a personnel, sitting at the desk, is terrible for your back for that extended period of time. So, and then on top of that, you got other things that you gotta do for deployments and all that other stuff too. So there's a lot of things that taken into account. But yeah, like you said, it takes a toll on the body big time.
What was the, I know Air Force, Navy, everybody has, of course, different abilities to be able to get deployed somewhere. It could be in the United States or just helping out one of our partners that we have with. What was kind of, did you do a lot of deployments? Were you able to go to a lot of things like that?
Well, so that's the thing. I didn't actually deploy to other countries, because Nellis, my job was actually considered like a deployment, like a combat zone already, because we were like the training base for the pilots that actually take off. So we couldn't, our job couldn't deploy out of that duty station.
Gotcha, gotcha,
So,
gotcha.
because I guess it was already considered like a deployment, because we were help training the pilots for combat and everything like that. So, and I ended up being there the rest of my career. So I never ended up really deploying, and I wasn't at Langley long enough to deploy. I was actually supposed to deploy, but I ended up getting hit with a PCS before I deployed. So,
Oh, dang.
yeah.
Well, it's all good though, man. Like I know closer to my end of my career, all of a sudden Special Forces Career Center is like, hey man, yeah, we saw some of your PT scores. You want to try out? I'm like, man, I'm way past being gung ho. Like I'm good. Like
Yeah.
I'm about out.
Yeah.
I'm good, man. It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, same way, brother. But that's cool, man. So moving forward, what I definitely did want to talk to you about as well is I want to say congrats, man. A lot of people don't who are hearing you for the first time, at least through my network here. You're are professional in regards to bodybuilding, IFBB Pro Men's Physique. Just got a first place win. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
What's the? I know we talked before. You were trying to do like I think a couple shows to get qualified. Now that you got the win, what are you trying to do now?
I'm actually, man, I sat down and I talked to my coach and everything, and talked to my wife, and we're just gonna ride the wave. I had a lot of shows already scheduled, as backups. Louisiana is this weekend, and that one was already booked and paid for. And then I had another one the week after, which is the New York Pro, which they moved to Tampa. But I planned on doing that one, but that one is not booked and paid for yet. But after getting the win, I'm already Olympia qualified. So we were thinking just possibly sitting down. But after talking to my coach and my wife and praying about it, I was like, let's ride the wave. You know, it's like, why not?
Might as
It's
well.
already
Oh.
paid for. We already paid for it or whatever the case is. It's like, you know, and I'm a firm believer in never settling. There's a lot of people that settle. Like they get comfortable. Like for instance, in this case, if I get the win, it's like, all right, I got the win. This is what I wanted. I'm gonna settle. Like, why not go for another one? Like, why not be go that extra mile and not be just ordinary, but extraordinary, you know? Be instead of being great, be legendary. So I don't that's my thing is so I don't want to be just like everybody else and then win one and then sit down and get ready for the Olympia. Like I'll you know, if I have a chance to win another one and another one and another one, then you know, why not do it? So
Might as well, man. Might as well. You got that streak, like you said. I know for me, once I got in the military, the only reason why I found out about competing, my sergeant, my staff sergeant, little stocky dude, like that. There's always usually somebody who's like super, super in shape and has done a couple of shows. And sure enough, that was it.
yes.
And I saw him and he took his shirt off. I thought he was just a stocky guy. I was like, this dude is jacked. I was like, holy shit. Asked for a meal plan. And then he started telling me about shows. And sure enough, when I got out, I saw their shows. I had no idea in the shows. And I think what got me into it was going from such, kind of a regiment that we get stuck on in regards to military. Do you find that once you got out, you got retired, was it like a quick transition or did you do like one or two shows while you were still like getting out?
No, I was doing sh actually was doing shows while I was in the military.
Wow, man.
Yeah, I think I did. I started competing in 2014 and I got out in 2015. So it was I did about two or three shows while I was in the military. And I got serious about bodybuilding and lifting. About when I moved to Las Vegas and got stationed in Nellis is when I've got serious. So about 10 years ago total from today. So yeah, I did those two shows and then eventually I was like pretty good at it, you know. I didn't expect nothing out of it. It's just that it's like one of my friends was like, you know, same thing, competed or whatever, and they introduced me to the new division, men's physique. Because at first I was like, I'm not doing bodybuilding, I'm not wearing no Speedo up there. Being I'm only 135 pounds, you know. I was only like one, well, during that time I was like 145 or something like that. And I was like, I'm not doing that, you know. And then it's like, no, they just came out with a new division. It's more like modeling type. It's like for smaller guys that are in shape and stuff like that. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So I tried it and I ended up doing really good. Even though I didn't know what I was doing, I was still eating Subway and Gatorade the days, you know, days before the show, thinking I was eating healthy, you know. But
That's such a common thing. I don't know why. I've roughly done 17 shows myself,
jeez.
and it's so funny that even now to this day, I don't know what it is about Subway, but I did the same thing too, bro. I don't know why. Yeah, I'm just
Yeah.
gonna carb
Yeah, I think it's the
load
slogan.
over there.
I think it's the slogan that was say eat fresh. So
Yeah.
because they say eat fresh, you're like, oh, this is healthy, I can eat this. You know,
Oh my God, so crazy.
so I would do that and then and yeah, and then after that I just ended up being really good at it. And like I was placing really well and I was like, eh, I placed really well. I was like, oh, cool, I get a cool trophy. Why not do it again? That's when I switched over to the harder division because that was a little division that I was in, a little league that I was in. Then I switched over. I was like, I want to be in the big league with the big guys and all this other stuff and see how I really stack up against the best, you know, the best league. So that's when I joined the NPC and I was like, all right. I was like, let me see how. And I ended up winning, you know, my very first show. I got first place in the open, first place in the novice, first place overall. I was carrying home like seven trophies my sh first show. And I was like, all right, this is awesome, you know? So I ended up being really good at it. So I stuck to it. So.
That's awesome, bro. That's awesome, man. Well, man, super excited for you, brother. Congrats on that, man. Definitely hoping that you can even get more wins, man. I'm excited.
Thank you.
Hopefully, with all this COVID stuff going on. Hopefully they don't push the Olympia back even more. I know right now it's in December, I think.
Yeah,
so definitely some
17.
time for you to either do some more shows or, like you said, take a little bit off, but keep writing it, man. Hopefully everybody gets to hear your story and keep going off from there. Let them know, man, this is like where they can find you if they're people are interested, of course, to either, let's say, hit you up for supplementation, like hit you up for diets or anything like that.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
Yeah. People can find me. So my Instagram has all my information on it. You can check out my Instagram. It's at fit FIT underscore physique PHYSIQ. So once again, that's at fit underscore physique. There's no UE. It's just PHYSIQ. So all my information is on there. All the supplements that I take, Wicked Natural supplements, all the guys I'm sponsored by, clothing and everything like that. Chulaware, the board shorts that I wear, it's amazing board shorts. You can get those through the link there. Dad bought apparel for your casual wear, and for the dads out there, because I'm a dad and I believe strongly in family. So yeah, so all that stuff you can get it on my Instagram page. So just check me out on Instagram, fit underscore physique.
All right, brother. And that's going to do it, man. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been episode 9 of Grunt Talk. See you guys next time.
Thanks, bro.